Thank you so very much, Brother Jim and Brother Ernie. Hardly seems possible that this is indeed our last message for the week. Helen and I have been looking forward to coming to the park, well, for a year, and we have not been disappointed. What a joy it has been to enjoy your fellowship. We thank God for it. We thank you for your love that has been made known in so many, many ways. I thank God for Park of the Palms. When I talk to folks and realize how they are being blessed day by day, both residents and visitors, what a joy it is to know that God's people are providing for and caring for God's people. And we thank him for it. Couldn't help but think of a fringe benefit that we have enjoyed. We have met folks here both on previous occasions and then this year from our own country that we would never have met in any other way. Folks from Toronto, Winnipeg, and Vancouver. And if it hadn't been for Park of the Palms, here in beautiful Florida, we would not have had the pleasure of meeting these who know, love, and enjoy our Lord Jesus Christ. What can one say about your hospitality? As we go home, it's off to Barley Greens and Weight Watchers. It's been a joy. You've made us real archbishops. You know what I mean, I'm sure. We return richer for friends that we have met, having met previously, and now have others we have met for the very first occasion. We thank you so very much for your care and love. We covet your prayers. We long to be used of God in the areas that our Brother Jim has already mentioned. Specifically, the radio ministry of the Family Bible Hour. We pray and plead that 1991, should our Lord tarry, will be a year of growth. And only our Lord can really bring that about. So, please remember us. Then, as we travel, we're expecting to leave possibly sometime before breakfast. I'm not sure just how early. It will all depend on whether I have my way or whether my wife has hers. Not really. But we do look forward to getting on the road in good time in the morning. We wish to get to Augusta for middle or late afternoon, and we'll spend the Lord's Day morning there and then get on home, hopefully, before Tuesday night when our assembly has its annual meeting. Again, we covet your prayers so very, very much. Read with me about the Lord who is my shepherd. Psalm 23. We've looked at our beloved Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our advocate. We saw him last evening as our judge. Tonight, we see him as our shepherd. It was a beautiful spring day. And Mother was on her way to visit her college co-ed. She had to drive the Pennsylvania Turnpike to visit her daughter. And her daughter knew that her mother was terrified of driving through tunnels. When Mother finally arrived safely at the college, the young girl turned to her mother and said, "Mother, did you have any trouble?" "Oh," said Mother, "only the tunnels." She said, in fact, one was 2.5. 2.5, Mother? What do you mean? Was it 2.5 minutes to drive through? Was it 2.5 miles? What was it? She said it was 2.5 times through Psalm 23. You've maybe had the experience. But let's read about this precious, most precious Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. We've read the jewel of all literature. We have read together tonight the 23rd Psalm, which for centuries has thrilled the hearts of God's believing people, the flock for which our beloved Lord died. Fitting, I believe, that in this high-tech age of ours, we might pause and enjoy the precious notes that came from Israel's sweet-singing psalmist. Many are the outlines, I suppose, that could be attached to this very precious psalm. But let me suggest the following for your consideration. I trust we'll make it through. If we don't, you can pick up where I leave off. I like to think of verse 1 as the person of the shepherd. My shepherd. Verse 2 as the provision of the shepherd. The path of the shepherd is in verse 3. The presence of the shepherd in verse 4, and in 5 we have the protection of the shepherd, while we conclude in 6 with a prospect for the sheep. Yes, the Lord is my shepherd. Think with me as we begin our brief study of the person of the shepherd. Who is he? He is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that you and I, beloved, have come to know and love. We trusted him as Lord and Savior. That moment of conversion when he became our very, very own. And now we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. This great eternal God, of whom there is none greater, the one who spoke the worlds into beings. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And yet, beloved, he's interested, would you believe it, in you and in me. And in this we rejoice. I'm thrilled tonight to know that he is the fragrant, beautiful rose of Sharon. I'm excited in the fact that he is the lion of the tribe of Judah, powerful, majestic, rich, wonderful. I'm delighted to know, as with Solomon in his beautiful song, I can say with the bride, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and my friend. Tonight, I'm thrilled indeed as I realize and appreciate tonight that he is my shepherd, my personal possession. I trust he's yours. I trust when you revel on that precious thought of a personal Savior and a personal shepherd, that the heart beats just a little faster. And love for Christ is just a little deeper and a little warmer because of the truth of the fact that he is my shepherd. He has always been interested in his sheep. You remember in Mark chapter 6 and verse 34, and I think we may have made a passing reference to this text the other evening. He saw many people and was moved with compassion because they were like sheep having no shepherd. How's that? To be a sheep without anyone to care, without anyone to love, without anyone to provide. Thank God you and I are not in that state tonight, but rather you and I can personally enjoy our great shepherd, my shepherd. Each of us thrilled by the thought, my shepherd, the one of which John wrote in his gospel chapter 10, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Oh, beloved, thank God tonight for such a shepherd. One who gave his all for us, for you, for me, each of us can say, and we can say from the depths of our being, the Lord is my shepherd. Thank God for the person of the shepherd. Well, might the poet put it this way, but none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through, ere he found his sheep that was lost. Out in the desert, he heard its cry, sick and helpless and ready to die. And that's exactly the position you and I were in, until the good shepherd came and found us. And put us on his shoulders and drew us back and carried us back to enjoy fellowship with himself. Yes, thanks be to God tonight for the person of the shepherd. A number of years ago, and I'm sure most have heard the account, the banquet was over. A leading actor was there present, and he was asked if he would quote a piece of poetry. And he chose the psalm that you and I have just read. There was an elderly preacher there, a man of God. And after the actor, with perfect pronunciation and elocution, had quoted this beautiful psalm, letter perfect, the man of God was asked to do the same. And he did it. And the shepherd of the psalm moved and touched his heart. And a tear trickled down his cheek. When the dear man of God took his place, once again, the actor stood to say, I know the psalm. This man knows the shepherd. Beloved, do you know the shepherd tonight? I'm confident that most, if not all, could repeat this beautiful psalm, letter perfect. But you know what I believe, and believe me, I preach it with a tender heart. I believe there will be many in hell who could quote the 23rd Psalm. They know its words, but they never in life placed faith and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed shepherd of the sheep. Friend, the good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. He gave his life for you. Will you accept him tonight? Will you believe, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner? I believe you died for me. And right now, Lord Jesus Christ, I accept you as my Savior. Yes, the person of the shepherd. But then notice the provision of the shepherd. What does the psalmist say? He says, why? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that thrilling to know that the child of God will never want? Oh, he may identify those things that he thinks he wants and he needs, but in the plan and purposes of God, God meets his needs as he sees fit. And the psalmist can say, I shall not want. What does he do? Why, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And the psalmist, as a sheep in the flock, could say, why, there is green, succulent grass that the sheep can feed upon. And there's water, cold and clear, that will refresh the panting, thirsty sheep. And he could say of a truth, I shall not want. With what confidence? You see, the shepherd had proven his ability to provide for the sheep. And there are those here tonight in this company, and you are much older than I, and you look back over life, and you can honestly and truthfully say, the Lord has met my every need. I have never lacked. He's provided for me. He's cared for me. He's kept me. And you would rise to give him the glory. That was David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I like that confidence. I shall not lack food, green pastures. That which the sheep would so enjoy. Number of years ago, as we traveled through the Rocky Mountains, we saw a large flock of sheep being led by a shepherd, and they were being taken from their winter pasture to their spring pasture, where the grass was lush and green, and where they would benefit from it. The cars had to stop on the road. The flock was so immense. And up here on a horse was a shepherd. And out on the periphery of that flock, there were other shepherds. They were the under-shepherds. Thank God, he has under-shepherds in the flock to watch for and to protect the sheep while the shepherd goes on ahead to lead the way. I shall not lack food and green pastures. I shall not lack refreshment. Ah, there's still waters. When the spiritually thirsty soul cannot possibly be satisfied in the waters and in the springs of the world, for we've tried them. I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, and all the waters failed. E'en as I stooped to drink, they fled, and they mocked me as I will. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. And so there is refreshment in the still waters. He says, I shall not lack vitality. Why? He restores my soul. He restores my soul. And I will not lack in this area. I will not lack in respect to moral direction. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. What a shepherd. And he provides for his sheep, dear child of God. He says, he maketh me to lie down. To lie down to rest is the thought. Isn't it great when you're spiritually weary and when you're physically weary and you can lay down to enjoy the rest that he alone gives? Isn't it great to be able to rest knowing that you're being cared for by the shepherd himself? My shepherd. Yes, there is rest and there is contentment. What did he say? Why, there are the green pastures. This would suggest the largeness of the pasture. There's ample in which you and I can eat and enjoy and be strengthened and be refreshed. There's sufficiency here, provided by our good shepherd. He said in John chapter 10, our good shepherd, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Thank God, beloved. He provides for the soul and he gives abundant life. I like another rendering of that verse. Puts it this way. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, that they might have a superabundant life. And that's the kind of a life that the believer, enjoying his personal shepherd, has to enjoy. Come ye yourselves apart, he said, into a desert place. An uninhabited place is the thought. Come apart. and rest a while. Ever felt the need of such rest and refreshment? Just to get away from it all and rest in His presence. I believe often travel-weary saints on their way to glory need time to rest in the presence of the Shepherd. Just to sit back, to relax, and to know that the Shepherd is there to provide love and care. Sadly, it seems that so many of us have little time for the Shepherd who gave His life for the sheep. Beloved, let us purpose tonight to spend more time with the Shepherd. He says, "And He leadeth me beside still waters." He leadeth. The thought is that He gently guides me along. And He takes me to the place where I know I will be refreshed. He gently guides. He leads me. He sets the pace, knowing that that's the pace that I'll be comfortable with. And then He will take me to the place of refreshment to be blessed as only my Shepherd can bless. I love the words of Isaiah 40, don't you? "He shall feed His flock," how? "Like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in His arm and carry them in His bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young." What a shepherd. What a shepherd. And He wants to provide for you and for me. But notice the path in verse 3. "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." He restores my soul. He leadeth me in these precious paths of righteousness. I wondered as I thought of the text this afternoon, I wonder if there will be any saints in the service tonight and you will feel the need of being restored. "He restoreth my soul." How did the psalmist know that could happen and would happen? I want to suggest it was because he had had the experience. That's how he knew. And I'm confident, beloved, that there are those in the company, and you look back over the experiences of life when you thought, "I'll never make it through." And just then, what happened? Why, through His own goodness and grace, He just restored your soul. May the joy of the Lord be your strength. Thanks be to God, He still makes it that way. The law, the word of God, the psalmist said in 19 and verse 7. The law is perfect, converting or restoring the soul. If you and I want refreshment of soul, go to this book. Psalm 37 is a case in point. You maybe heard about the Christian doctor who is being plagued by a particular believer, aroused even during the night. When the call came, he said, "Go and take 2 Psalm 37s and call me in the morning." He still refreshes through His word, beloved. Thanks be to God. He restores my soul. Sad, however, when we as sheep stray from the paths of righteousness to be ensnared by Satan. Oh, let us get back on the paths of righteousness and enjoy the righteousness and the holiness that comes alone from His presence. You remember Amos the prophet, chapter 3, verse 3, he said this, "How can two walk together except they be agreed?" And walking in fellowship with our good shepherd, my soul is refreshed, and I am able to carry on in whatever sphere of service the Lord has called me to. You remember the Emmaus Road experience? I wish I had time to preach on it. I love that passage from the Word of God. Boy, if ever there were brokenhearted believers, there was two. Heartbroken. Faces that obviously indicated their grief. But what happened? He joined them. He walked with them. He revealed himself to them. He sat down in their home. And what was really out of character, he was not the host. He was the guest. He took the bread, and he broke it. And this book says that he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. I wonder, as he passed it to them, if that nail-wounded scar they noticed and realized who it was. But what happened? After he had disappeared from their presence, they start off for Jerusalem. And what is their statement? Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us by the way? Beloved, do you want to have heart problem tonight? Wouldn't it be great to have real heartburn? Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us by the way? Let's enjoy his fellowship. Let's be refreshed by his presence as we walk together on the way home, not to Emmaus, but to the glory. For his name's sake, we'll enjoy his presence. But then there was his presence. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There was the comfort of his presence. More than one dear saint on these grounds has said to me this week, I am so thankful for the Lord's presence. I enjoy his nearness so very, very much. Oh, the comfort of his presence. David knew the presence. His presence on the path. And now he would know it not only on the path, but in the valley. The valley is the shadow of death. Might be, in your experience, something crosses your path and you're fearful about it. But beloved, it's only a shadow. And it cannot harm or hurt, but by the permissive will of our Father who loves and cares for you. Have the assurance then that he will keep and he will care. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Oh, what confidence. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod. That rod was that instrument that the shepherd used at the close of the day. He had called his sheep, and now they're coming in from the pasture. Soon he'll admit them one by one into the fold, and when all are safely there, he'll lay himself down as the door to the sheepfold so that none can get out or none can come in to hurt or harass. And they'll be protected, knowing the shepherd is the door. And he's keeping us safe. But as one by one those little sheep walk through that doorway, the shepherd puts his rod at a given height so that each of the sheep he loves must pass under it. And as they do, he carefully examines them, each one. He looks them over for cares, for bruises, for hurts. And when he has identified one, he pulls back the wool. He pours in the oil. He massages it. He comforts that little creature. And it passes in to the safety of the fold. Beloved, his eye is on you tonight. And whatever the hurt might be, whatever the concern from which you're suffering, my shepherd knows, your shepherd knows, and he longs to richly and abundantly bless you. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Here was the staff, and the shepherd leaned on it during the day as he stood surveying his flock. But then he comes up against a bush, and he wants to make absolutely certain that there is nothing hiding within that bush. And he takes his rod, and his staff, and he hits the bush. If there are any serpents, they'll be caused to flee. If there is an animal in there that would take the sheep as prey, that too will leave. The sheep knows, while my shepherd has his staff, I am safe. Safe from the reptiles, the dog, and others that would do them harm. Then he says, that staff comforts me. I think I see those sheep gently grazing on the hills of Palestine, seeking their food. There's the shepherd. The sun is high in the heavens, and the day is warm. And there he is on his staff. He's leaning on it. But from his vantage point, much higher than the lowly sheep, he sees the entire terrain, and he's able to protect his sheep, to call them to himself, to go after the beasts of prey, because he's higher than they. Beloved, I'm thankful this evening. My shepherd's into glory, and he's watching every step that you and I take, and it's his plan and purpose to keep us safe along the way. Yes, he keeps day by day and moment by moment. But then in verse 5, there is his protection and the way he provides for us. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The sheep might come through the valley of the shadow of death, but there's one there to bring him safely through. Several years ago, my dear mother, who is a godly mother and a caring mother, passed into the presence of the Lord. And in those final days, she said to my brother Ross, she said, Ross, this is the valley of the shadow. She knew she was going through it, but it would be of short duration under the protecting care and love of her beloved shepherd. He would protect. And in the journey of life, he would provide. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. What a strange place for a prepared table. In the presence of his enemies. You know, supply lines give God no problem. Do you remember that within the first 24 hours of Iraq invading Kuwait, that a message came out of the White House which said that it was not likely the U.S. would be involved because the supply lines would be too long? That's not the case with my God. Supply lines give him no problem. And he has proven to be able to provide a table in the wilderness. Remember, he did so. He rained manna from heaven and provided for his people. Regardless of the situation, in the presence of mine enemies, the little girl was being disciplined. She was told that she could not have her supper with the rest of the family. She had to sit at her own little chair and table in the corner while the others sat in the dining room to eat their meal. At the table, they gave thanks. And then they turned to her and said, now you can give thanks for your food. And she said, thank you, Lord, for providing this table in the presence of my enemies. Now, I can't vouch for the truth of that, but I think the thought is there nevertheless, that he provides for us, beloved, regardless of our situation. And a skilled shepherd provides safe eating places, free from the poisonous plants. He provides the roughage that will be good for the sheep. He provides the sweet, tender, nutritious grass. I wonder if I'm enjoying it and eating it, finding in the Word of God that which satisfies the hungry soul. Thank God, he anoints my head with oil. And under the rod, as we've noticed, every hurt is identified, and the oil is applied, and the hurt has been removed. He says, my cup runneth over. He's provided so much that my cup can't possibly contain it. Ever had those experiences when you sat down in quietness just to enjoy the fellowship of the Lord? And as you did, oh, the preciousness of the shepherd was so real to your heart. You almost had to say, Lord, just hold it for a minute. Just let me enjoy what you've given to me. And you enjoy it to the full. And the psalmist says, my cup is so full that now it's running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He's looked back over that life, and in confidence placed in his God, he has proven again the care and safekeeping of the one who has provided for him. Only goodness and mercy and the unfailing love would follow him all the days of his life. He that spared not his son, shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Beloved, he can give no more. He's given his only son, and all things are included in him. And the likes of poor guilty sinners like you and me are the recipients of every blessing that an omniscient, omnipresent God could shower upon us. That's the kind of a shepherd you and I have. And he protects us. And he leads us. And he keeps us. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus? Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. And he'll provide. And he has. Thank God for his mercy and for his loving kindness. We're poor, once straying sheep like you and me. What's the prospect? I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a word. What a promise. What a prospect. As I thought of those words this afternoon, the house of the Lord forever. I think of those two dear ones on the road to Emmaus. The Lord Jesus is in their home. And I'm sure as they thought to themselves, you know, nothing could beat this. Here's the Lord in our home. But beloved, there is something that can beat it. It's not him in my home. It's me in his. And beloved, we're going to be there very, very soon. I believe it with all of my heart. In the house of the Lord forever. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. And afterwards receive me to glory. He said in the 16th in verse 11, in thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. What will it be like as I ask this morning, when for the very first time we see the man who died on Calvary's tree for us? Our shepherd. Would this not be a fitting exclamation? My shepherd. My shepherd savior. The one who loved me and died for me. I mentioned several years ago, my dear mother went into the presence of the Lord. We received word on Christmas Day that she was beginning to sink. She lasted for a month. As the end was drawing near, we were going in several times each day. I said to Helen near the end of the afternoon, I think I'll go over and see Mum for a few minutes. On the 25th of December, I had asked the Lord as I drove to the rest home, Lord, please let me be with Mum as she goes into the presence of the Lord. 26th of January. It's about 5 o'clock. And the breath is now coming very heavily. Mum's not going to be here too long. I called Helen. I said, honey, when are you having supper? About 5:30. I said, I think I'll wait until then, and then I'll be home. I turned back to my mother. I felt her brow. Ross's hymn book was on the night table. I picked it up. And so softly I began to sing to my dear mother, O Christ, he is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love. The streams on earth I've tasted, more deep I'll drink above. thereto an ocean's fullness. His mercy doth extend, e'en where glory, glory dwelleth, in Emmanuel's land. I finished the verse, and Mum was gone. The nurse came in. She said, "Mr. McEntee, I think I'll give your mother a drink." I said, "Yvonne, I don't think you need to." She just left us. I started to sing to her about the Father's land. Before I finished, my beloved mother was there in Emmanuel's land. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a Savior. What a shepherd. Thanks be to God for his shepherd. Thanks be to God for my shepherd. And isn't it exciting that each one of us can say, "He's mine. He's mine. I know him. I love him. I've walked with him. I've enjoyed his fellowship down through the years. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Beloved, Park of the Palms is great, but we ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till we get to heaven. It will be the park of all parks. It will be home to enjoy his presence for all eternity. My dear old father, often quoted in prayer, we can almost hear his footfall on the threshold of the door, and my heart is longing to be with him evermore. And beloved, someday it will happen. Someday we will be there, drawn by the rapture into his glorious presence to be with him and like him for all eternity. Lord, hasten the day. For your glory and our blessing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we bow collectively tonight and at the close of this week of conference. From these redeemed hearts of ours, we just want to tell thee again, we love thee. Lord Jesus, we love thee. We thank thee for dying for us and being our shepherd. We thank the blessed Holy Spirit for bringing the Lord Jesus Christ before us in all of his beautiful perfection. We look forward to seeing him. Thank you, Father, for such love. Now may your rich and abundant blessing rest upon each dear believer who is here and all who are in these grounds. Father, we needn't remind thee that they're precious to thee. You love them. You gave your only son to die for them. Please bless them, comfort them, care for them, and meet their every need for thy glory. And their blessing, we pray in Jesus' worthy name. Amen.